blue Bibles there. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now in those days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we thank you for Acts 6. We thank you for your holy word. We pray that you would open our hearts and our ears and our lives to your word, that we would be under your word. We would be those worked upon by your word. Thank you, Lord, for what is here. Guide us as we work our way through it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, and we're looking at the gospel offices, the gospel offices. I want you to notice in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, that there are three subjects here, it can break down into three points. It's the need is in verses 1 through 3, the need, 1 through 3, the aim, verses 4 through 6, and the result, verse 7. So the need, the aim, and the result. Now, I'm sure you know this story well as we think about the need here, verses 1 through 3. I'm sure you know this story well. It is a shaky moment for the church. Things are swaying in the balance. Will the Hebrew-speaking homeland Jewish Christians tilt their noses up into the air and look down on their Greek-speaking outlander Jewish Christian, Will they treat their culturally and ethnically different widows like fourth-class citizens? That's what's going on there. In those days, the disciples were increasing in number, and there came a complaint from the Hellenists. It arose against the Hebrews. So it's the Greek-speaking outland. They're from Turkey and from Rome, modern-day Turkey and Rome and all these out places. And they're saying, hey, you're neglecting our widows. And it's the home bodies, the Jews from around Jerusalem and Galilee, that they're talking to. You're neglecting our widows. Is this going to be an ethnic cultural divide in the church? That's the dilemma. Will the ethnically and culturally different Greek-speaking Jews rise up and riot and revolt, claiming to have been wronged for multiple generations, which they could actually do, and start breaking up the church, demanding that all be righted immediately? Or will there be a breaking down of the barriers, making Jesus the genuine center of their Christian faith and not their ethnicity, not their culture, not their nationality, not their political party? So there's a need here, and the apostles are in a bit of a quandary. Here is a true and immediate need. It's a real, genuine need. And they acknowledge that it's a need. And that need has the potential not only to mar the church and the church's witness if it's not taken care of, if it's ignored, but it also has the potential to derail the apostles' work. That's verse 2. Notice, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up our task, the preaching of the word, to go serve tables. And so what do? They say, call for these men. They call for 7 of them who can serve tables. And that Greek word is where we get the word deacon from. The diakonine, the infinitive verb of to deacon, to serve. So they call for these 7 men to do that task. So there's the need. But then notice the aim. It's in verses 4 through 6. The aim of this whole program, setting this up. The aim of their remedy, of the apostles' remedy, is threefold. First off, it's to take care of a genuine need. It's to follow the pattern, to practice the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ that He Himself walked from early on, to be a living picture of the grace of God in Jesus Christ to those inside God's family who were in need. I mean, think about how often Christ healed people, how Christ reached out His hand. Think about the moment when a leper comes running up to Him and says, "If you are able, or if you would, please heal me." And the very first thing Jesus does before He even speaks is put His hand on this untouchable fellow in deep need. He touches him and then He says, "I will be healed." Right? That's the pattern. And that's what they're doing here. To take care of this genuine need, to follow the pattern practiced even by our Lord Jesus Christ, to be this living picture of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But secondly, the aim of this remedy is to show that the Church of Jesus Christ is above the pride of clan. It's above egoistic ethnicity. It's above narcissistic nationalism. That's the reason, one of the main reasons for appointing these men to do this task. It's something that will become clearer and clearer as the book of Acts unfolds until that climactic moment in chapter 15 where the elders and the apostles will gather together and will declare jointly, "Ah, yes, the Gentiles, those who are ethnically other and culturally other, yes, they can be part of God's family, not by becoming like us, Jewish, but by faith in Jesus Christ." That's Acts 15. The third part of the aim is to set the apostles free to, quote, give, verse 2 and 4, to give themselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And so the deacons' gospel-shaped work frees up the pastors and the elders to give themselves continually to prayer and ministry of the word, to free them up to shepherd, to nurture and cultivate the abundant life in God's people. Therefore, to meet all three aspects of this aim, notice that the quality of their character is important. What do the apostles say here in verse 3 and then again in verse 5? "Pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." Verse 5. "And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit," etc. And we heard it in 1 Timothy 3. The quality of their life is extremely important in this office to represent, to relieve the pastors and elders so that they can do the ministry of the word and prayer, etc., but also to be the face of Jesus Christ, as it were, to their surrounding community and especially to other Christians. It's an essential aspect. The quality of their character is an essential aspect of the gospel work of Jesus that He's given, His church. My friends, there's also a similar aim for elders in the church. Just a few chapters later, actually a lot of chapters later, over in Acts chapter 20, when Paul is on his way to Jerusalem and he pulls into port and he calls for the elders of Ephesus to come down from Ephesus and meet him there, and he begins to talk to them, one of the things he charges them with is this. It's Acts 20, verses 28 through 31. He says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Notice that. "Pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert." Notice it's almost a similar mission for the elders. And so notice that in both cases, Acts 8 and Acts 20, neither elders nor deacons are representatives of any faction or clique or special interest group in the church. They are both offices, because they are gospel offices, they are for the church, for the whole congregation. They may think, now why are you talking about that? Is there a concern here? No, there's no concern, but it needs to be said. I know of situations over the years where people nominated someone to represent them in that church, to represent their interest. Shame on them for doing that. That's not biblical and it's not gospel. Does that make sense? All the elders and deacons represent the whole church because they care for the whole congregation and they love the whole congregation, even the ones that sometimes can be ornery, which we don't have any of those, right? But they're for the whole church. There's no factionalism. In fact, Paul himself warns the elders here, for example, that there will be factionalism that will try to happen in the elders. Don't let it happen, he says. Be alert, he says. And so, my friends, this is why our sixth ordination vow is so biblical and so essential. You look in your worship guide there, look for the sixth vow. Listen to what it says as you think about the reason why deacons were appointed in Acts 6 and what the elders are about and that they were there to actually keep the church together. Think about that as you listen to the sixth vow. Do you promise to strive, not coast, strive for what? For the purity, the peace, the unity, and the edification of the church. That's what you swear to before Almighty God because it's biblical and it's gospel. That's why we say that. Isn't that exciting? I mean, that's really good stuff. And so there's the aim. Here's the result. Look at verse 7. Notice how the result comes up. Verse 7 begins with the word and. And, showing that verse 7 is connected to verses 1 through 6. And the word of God continued to increase. And the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Brothers, sisters, it worked. The word of God spread because there were now these deacons who actually were for the church. It worked. The word of God spread. People came streaming into Christ's church, seeing that these Christians really did act differently, that the church really was a gospel answer to a fragmented, fractured society around it. We think that our country's polarized. You should have been in Jerusalem and Judea at that time. Man, you want to talk about fragmented. It was falling apart. It was dog eat dog. And here's the church, and they're not letting that happen to them. And it throve. It flourished. That the church was a gospel answer to the factional societies around them, and that this Jesus really did make people into something new. The work was so successful. Notice the end of verse 7. The work was so successful that even those pesky, obstinate priests who always fought against Jesus, just read the Gospels, they're always against Jesus. All of a sudden, to sing from Fiddler on the Roof, miracle of miracles, wonders of wonders, here are priests flowing in to the church believing in Jesus. Wow! A real miracle. They became obedient to the faith. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we see that the offices of deacon and the office of elder, that these offices are gospel-shaped, gospel-aimed offices. It's a work that strengthens the validity of the gospel work of Christ's church by showing that we will care for those in need, showing the very compassion of Jesus himself, putting flesh and muscle to the gospel words proclaimed in the preaching and in the sacrament, and we do so together. And so, dear congregation, be encouraged on this day. Encouraged in how God has seen fit to continue to bless this congregation. Our body of elders and deacons is growing, even in the middle of a pandemic. This is exciting. This is a movement in the right direction. It is a sign of genuine, real growth. Not necessarily numerical growth, but growth in depth and richness. Finally, brothers and sisters, let us all pray for these elders and these deacons that they will be hugely instrumental and greatly successful in striving for the purity, peace, unity, and edification of the church, of this congregation. Amen.